All right, we're glad to have Brother Adrian back with us, and he's back with us for a little while. His wife should be having the baby. She should have already had the baby, but she's holding out here, so I don't know. But anytime soon, so we're glad to have them back. Yeah. Whenever our guys are here, I'd like to have them come speak to us, and so he hasn't been able to yet. He's been out of town a little bit, and now he's back for the birth of the baby, and so Brother Adrian's going to come, and we're very, very proud of him and all that he's done over the years, and so let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Myers. What a privilege it is, church family, to be back at our church. And this is a wonderful place. This is a special place. This has been home for 30 years of my life, and I don't want to be anywhere else except back in Cambodia. Other than that, this is the place. And wow, has my family traveled thousands of miles. We just concluded a 15,000-mile trip in the last 5 months, and we have gone around the country, specifically to the Midwest, and God has been so good. No breakdowns. We were just leaving in June, and I hit a speed bump. I hit a pothole, in Arizona, and something started to shake up my van. About 30 minutes later, I hit another pothole, and everything's normal, and it was fine for the next 15,000 miles. And so God is good. Praise the Lord for safety. Wow, Pastor Myers, thank you so much for your love, your commitment to the Lord, to our church. Church family, thank you for your faithfulness to our home base here and to being a lighthouse here in our community for these many, many decades. I come back and what do I see? New faces. Even as I look around the auditorium, even this evening, there are many folks that I do not know. There are faces here that have just gotten saved in the last few years and my family's been gone. What does that mean? What does that tell me? What does that tell many others is that our church is doing its job to go out into the community, to go out into the harvest field around us, to reach Long Beach and the surrounding cities with the gospel. And also, as people come in, you're doing your part in staying sensitive and ready and able to give the gospel to people as they come here and listen to the word of God preached. It was great being here this last Sunday. And to see folks raise their hands and then step out in the back and seeing folks lead them to Christ, it's a blessing. I had the privilege of talking to a man named Michael, and he lives on the building right behind us there, that blue building, one of the assisted living homes over there, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. Amen. Love it. I don't get tired of it. I want to see more of it, and I want our church continue to do that for many more years and decades to come, and yay for the next generation. It's exciting to see a new building completed, and I don't know about you, but I've been given to the building for quite a while, and it's a joy to look now at what we have. I think a pretty much completed building. We started using all the classrooms, the offices, and everything else in between. It's awesome. It's reality now. It's come to fruition. It's your investment. It's my investment, and it's here. Let's not lose that. Let's not think of it as something light. It's big. It's huge. Look at where we came from and look at where we are now and look at what all that God has for us. Amen. I'm not preaching yet, but wow, it's good. Amen. It's awesome. But you know, one thing that I did write down is that if we don't continue to send others out, and that's not my message necessarily, then how can this world come and know Jesus as their Savior? We must do our part here to build up folks, to help folks to get ready and prepare, and I'll talk about a few folks later tonight, and send them out and go. We must be willing to go, because if the church doesn't send, someone once said the church will end. And I don't want what has been done, what has been given, what has been invested in for these many decades to end. I've traveled to a little over 100 churches. Maybe 200 churches. I stopped counting, really. And I see churches that have been around for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Some have shut their doors or just nearing to shut their door. Some are not growing. We have something unique here. And we must keep it going for the Lord. Church family, I ask as a missionary, as your missionary, to please keep a few prayer requests on your mind. Please pray for my wife. And our next baby, due any moment now. She might be calling me during this message right now. And Brother Joseph, please be ready to take over as I shoot out of here. I don't know how that's going to go. We're celebrating 6 years of marriage this coming Saturday. Hopefully, baby doesn't come on Saturday. Try to come tomorrow. We want to share that same date right there. Please pray for my wife as she's going to be swearing in for U.S. citizenship. This has been 2 years in the making right here. We've been back and forth to America quite a few times now, and she's swearing in on Tuesday. And so we've got quite a bit of things going on, and we need everything to fall in place the way God would want it to go. We don't want to reschedule this meeting. A reschedule would mean we'd either stay here even a few more months, or we'd have to leave. Then come back again. And I've already been back about 3 times, Pastor. And I love this place, but I want to be where God's called me to be and to serve. So please pray for that. Pray for my wife and new baby to get their passport and to get it in quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because that usually takes a little bit. And the longer it takes, the longer I have to wait until we can book tickets to get back to Cambodia and then to adjust back to being there. As it's not like America. I've adjusted, I've acclimated, but the heat's going to hit me in the face. And so, senior trip, if you're coming out, get ready. It's going to be a fun time, but look forward to hosting you all as you come out to Asia. If you would, church family, take your Bibles and stand with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 will be at this evening, verses 16 to 18. Love this season. Love this time of the year. Thanksgiving has just passed, and I hope we're thankful for so many things. Christmas is almost here. I'm thankful for Jesus. He came, was born, and lived a perfect life, and died for you and I. I hope we're thankful tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 16. We'll look at a few verses, we'll pray, and you may be seated and we'll get into it. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight, and Lord, thank you for your word. Your precious word that we have, we can read, we can study, we can keep, and we can share. Help us, Lord, to glean from it this evening. Help, Lord, and use me to be a mouthpiece, to be a tool, to say only that which you would have. Lord God, may you bless these moments that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica that he started on a second missionary journey and is checking on their faith, is checking on them, wants them to grow in godliness. And here in these verses, we see a few ingredients for a healthy life, things that we all ought to be reminded of, things that I need to keep myself reminded of. And we see it here in these verses. We see a few more things, but I'll focus on those three and mainly on the third one this evening. Number one, we see rejoice evermore. And there are so many things to rejoice about, church family. What do we see in, if we go back a little bit? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Number two, we see that the Bible says pray without ceasing. What is that? To pray regularly. And I hope that all of us have a consistent, regular prayer time in our life. I don't know about you, I know about myself that I cannot go a day without talking to my Lord and Savior. I need him. He doesn't need me, but I need him each and every day. I am nothing without my Savior. I am nothing without God. If he goes far from me, which he won't, he is the same yesterday, today, and he'll be the same forever. It's usually me that's falling away, falling aside, going and being where I ought not to be and having being in a certain way that I ought not to be. It's usually me that's standing in the need of prayer. We need to have a consistent prayer life. We need to it to be regular in our life. Amen. You want to serve God for all your years on this earth, for the short amount of time that God will have you here. Well, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In verse number 18, in everything give thanks. In all circumstances give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Many people wonder, what is God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? What is God's specific will? Well, I don't know the answer to that for you. I know what it is for me. I know where it is right now in my life. But I do know his general will, I think, for everybody. And is that we all give thanks. We all spend time every single day thanking the Lord for so much that he's given us that we do not deserve at all. We've heard it said many times. We don't thank because we don't think. And if we stop and we spend time in the mornings or afternoons or evenings, whatever time works for you. I know all our schedules are different, church family. Some of you work nights. Some of you work days. Some of you work a swing. Some of you work 18 hours in one day. That's a long time right there. Set time aside to be with the Lord. Set time aside to give thanks to God for everything. Oh, things may not go your way, or things may not look wonderful, and things may not be going the way you want to go. Well, join the club. Things don't always go that way. But it's okay. Press on and press forward. It'll be all right. You have a choice. I have a choice to be thankful or not, to moan and complain. I hope we choose what's better. I hope we choose what God wants. And it's to be thankful, to be grateful. So many people around the world have it so much worse than you and I. As I hear reports, as I read updates, as I see emails, as I listen to what different missionaries say around the world, as I'm in missions conferences and meetings and different churches, sometimes five churches in a week, sometimes a church three times in a Sunday. You say, how does that work? Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. And Emily, she looks at me and says, Dad, where are we going today? And I said, we're going to church. Well, Dad, how many? One, two, or three? And I said, well, three. Today, that's how it was in Indiana. I've done that a few times, Indiana, Oklahoma. Emily's just used to going to church. And I'm so thankful for everywhere that I've been. I'm so thankful for the journey. Amen. You know, this journey has been, as far as deputation goes, we've been back and forth for about 2 years, and it's been about 16 months on the road. That's quite a bit of time, not being in one single location, not just going back to your home, but it's going from church to church, place to place, switching beds every few days. Not easy, but I'm so thankful to have a family that says, all right, Dad, let's go. Hey, Dad, let's keep on going. Where's next? What are we doing afterwards? Love my family. Love them so much. I'm so thankful to be able to serve the Lord. I don't deserve it. Lamentation says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, and he is faithful. He is always faithful. This phrase that we've come to always quote here at our church, I think of it all the time. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. You know, it's been 12 wonderful years to serve the Lord as a missionary. January 13, 2025, 12 years. Time has passed. I'm not as young as I used to be. Time has passed for sure. Two kids now, third one on the way. But you know, I'm loving life. I'm loving serving Jesus, and I hope you are. I hope you don't lose that flame. I hope you don't lose that fire. I hope that you don't get sidetracked, detracted, deterred from what God has for you. Amen. You know, I don't speak like this everywhere I go. Why? Because not everywhere I go is it like Pacific Baptist Church. People I love and I care about and I grew up with and that I know and that you know me. You know where I came from. You know my upbringing. You know my background. You know me. And I know many of you. God has great things in store for your life. God has great things in store for Pacific Baptist Church, and I hope we're thankful for that. I hope we're looking forward to spending 2025 together to serve Jesus and see all that God wants to do here through Pacific Baptist Church. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 15, the Bible says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Apostle Paul knew that he wasn't worthy, and I'm not worthy. But praise God, Lord said, "Hey, I'm looking for someone." I said, "Lord, here am I. Send me."
There you go.
But I'm not the only one in this room tonight. God's calling today. God's calling as we're nearing the end of 2024 for many more to go. Many more to answer that call. I'm thankful that he's called me. I'm thankful that he's not done calling. And he wants to use you, from those who are young to those who are older, everyone in between. It's not too late. There's still opportunities. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. As I travel this country, as I travel the world, as I go from place to place, city to city, state to state, country to country, you know what I see? A need. I see places, I see a people, and I've been to churches where they don't have a pastor. There's not a Baptist church in their community. But you know one thing I constantly think about? I constantly think about this, and maybe, you know what, I shouldn't. Maybe it's wrong of me. But I wonder who will come and reach these people in this place, in this city, in this state, in this country, for Jesus Christ. I wish I could duplicate myself. I wish I could split myself into more than just one and go here and go there. There's nothing greater, church family, than serving the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. I'm not the most talented. I'm not the most gifted. I'm not the most able, and many others can do a way better job. Hey, I'm here, and I see and I know many of you. Man, you're talented. Man, you have gifts that I wish I had, but I wish I have now. This is not my gift here. I don't stand before you thinking that, oh, I can do it, that, oh, I'm someone special. No, I'm unworthy. But he is worthy.
Yeah, he is.
And since he is worthy, I'll do whatever he wants. But I don't want to be the only one doing it. I want to see many more go. I think many more can. You know, I'm thankful tonight for so many things. Number one, I'm thankful that he saved me. 30 years ago, as a 7-year-old boy, I heard the gospel at the old Cambodian Baptist Church on Anaheim and Raymond, and I got saved. I'm thankful I'm not going to hell when I die. When you think of those two things right there, it ought to push you, encourage you, compel you to do all you can for Jesus.
Amen.
I'm thankful for my family. Thankful for my wife. She didn't know I'm preaching tonight. I didn't want to worry her. So, honey, hello. Nice to see you. But she's a warrior. You know, America's not where she grew up. America's not really where she calls home. She probably calls Cambodia home now. But wow, has she been a blessing to me.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for her. Men, you have a good wife. You have a godly wife. You have someone next to you. Cherish her. Love her. Help her. Spoil her. Spend time. It's a wonderful thing being married. I didn't get a chance to get married until I was about 30 years old. And man, I wanted to get married since I was a young adult. It just didn't happen there. But God has someone for me on the other side of the world. I'm so glad that I decided to step out by faith and serve him.
Yeah.
He has someone great out there for me.
Amen.
And I have a great wife. As I said, she's a warrior. Traveled the world with me. Traveled to about 20 states with me in just so many months. I have children that I love. Emily, Ruby, they're champs. In the vehicle, 8 hours at a time, 600 miles in a day. We spent about 5 days traveling 3,000 miles to get back to California. Oh, that was not easy. When you start traveling with your family, and you travel that long, there is some wailing and gnashing of teeth the last hour of the ride, and those kids want to get out. They want to go and stretch. They want to run. They want to go to the park. They want ice cream. And so what do you do? You keep the peace, and you take them to get ice cream. You take them to go play. Take them to the McDonald's playground. You take them somewhere fun, to the museum. You know, church family, the ministry is great, and I'm thankful for it. God's business is the greatest business in the world, and I'm so thankful I get to be in it. So thankful that you and I get to be a part of the Lord's work. Oh, you say, oh, my part is small. We'll do more then. You say, I do a lot. We'll continue doing what you're doing. You say, well, I'm happy here. Well, don't get too comfortable. God may want to raise you up to go somewhere else. I see many young men in this room tonight. I don't always see many young men as I travel churches. Some churches are full of old people. I was a part of one church out in Tennessee. About 50 people in that church. The youngest person, pastor, is the pastor. And he's 67 years old. There is no young families, no singles, no teens, no children, no nursery. They have a big building, but they need new blood. They need someone else to come and to help them and to replace that pastor when he's ready to step down or to move on. And many places I go around the country are just like that. I'm thankful for my family, my siblings, my relatives, those who become like family to me. So much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for my church family, pastor, for you, for the staff here, for the church family, for your example, your testimony. I am who I am. I am where I am today by the grace of God. But because of the investment of you in my life, from the young years till now, I'm not self-made. I'm not a man my own because I've done it all myself. You have helped me to be where I am. Someone has helped you to be where you are, and I hope we are thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm thankful for our team. Some may be watching. I think it's about 10:40 in the morning over there right now, Friday morning. Thankful for the boards. And pray for Mrs. Bohr and her recovery. Thank you for the Haas family, the Vong family, the Espositos, the San family. Pray for Brother San, Brother Vanak, and Samantha. They're trying to make their way back to California right now, or back to Long Beach right now. Had some vehicle issues, but they're hopefully almost here right now. Pray for them. Thankful for the Mirch family, for Michelle and Seha and our national leadership. Thankful for those in the country of Laos, for the Tongdi, Thailand, the Tongdis, the Sutriks and the Changs. Pray for a Tongdi. It's in the U.S. right now, traveling in cold old Canada where I don't want to be. I was happy to leave the Midwest a couple weeks ago, right on time before the snow came. I don't like the cold. I like the hot weather. You can always cool down. You can't always warm up. And the cold is not for me. My hands are frozen right now. It's cold. I'm not used to this weather. I'm thankful for those in Laos also, the Tongdi going back and forth, for my brother-in-law, Gong. You know, they are thankful for you. They can't do, we can't do what we are doing now if we don't have a support base, a home church like Pacific Baptist Church. A church unlike any other. I've been to the small churches. I've been to the big churches. We are unique. We are special. We're something different here. We've got something here that God has blessed. Let's stay a part of it, church family. I'm thankful for churches and pastors and prayer supporters all around the country now. As I've been to churches, countless churches, I've now made friends. We've now had partnerships. We now have folks who say, hey, Cambodia is important. Yep. And we want to come alongside you and help you to reach Cambodia with the gospel. We want to invest so that the many millions of Cambodia, the 8,500 villages out of 14,000 can hear the gospel. I'm thankful for many around the country who say it's important to give to missions. It's important to give and to send and to go. And if we cannot go, then we will pay for someone else to go. But we need more to go. I'm thankful for the journey of deputation. Wow, has it been eye-opening. Wow, has it been a step of faith. You know, when I talked to Pastor Esposito back in 2012, and he said, well, if God's calling you, well, get ready. Train someone to take over your ministries and prepare to go. Well, what does that mean, preacher? He said, well, you can do a few things. You can go on deputation and spend 3 years on the road all by yourself and go from church to church. And I said, nope, not me. He said, well, you can also save up some money and you can go for a year and support yourself. I said, oh, you know what? I think I can do that right there. That sounds a little bit more reasonable right there. And so I did that. I supported myself for a year, and you know what? It worked. Amen. And years turned into 12 years now. Amen. Come on. I don't regret it. Nope. And you won't regret it. You know, there are many different avenues that you can go nowadays. I'll bring that up in just a bit, because then I'm going to mess myself up here. But, you know, I'm thankful for the deputation, Joe. I'm thankful for many in our church family. Stephen Myers, Tim, Brother Ross, a couple others, family in different states. Thank you for when we got back to America and we did not have the funds and we did not have the means and did not have a vehicle, that you loaned out your vehicle to my family. Thank you for that. Say, oh, that's something small. Oh, it was big to me. Yeah. Oh, how can I go to churches if I don't have a vehicle to go? I can't. Yeah. And we stuffed that car to the brim. We stuffed that vehicle to the brim. Front, back, top, bottom. Just like when we came back right now from the Midwest. That thing was packed. My Honda Odyssey was packed everywhere. The girls can hop on and hop off. And that was about it right there. Thank you to those who allow also to us to store our stuff. That's big. You know, missionaries don't have homes. 99% of missionaries I know don't have a home in America. So what do you do? Where do you put things that you just can't toss out or throw away or that you need when you come back? You got to find a place. It's not always the easiest things. But I'm thankful for those in our church who allow us to do so. You know, I'm thankful for those who have stepped out and are going to step out really soon. You know, Brother Vanak and Miss Samantha are on the deputation trail. You have to remember this, church family. He's not from here. This is not his country. He does not know the U.S., let alone this California area like we do. And that brother came all the way over here with his family. Four kids. He's traveled to California. He's traveled to Arizona. He's going to travel to a few more places. Idaho, I believe. Wow. That's encouraging. Yeah. That challenges me. That reminds me that, you know what? Everything's going to be fine. And God's going to provide. But pray for him. Pray for them. Pray for my brother here, Brother Thithi, Brother Savani here. Soon going to be traveling. Excited for you. Amen. I'll try to hold my composure. And you know, I've been waiting about a decade now. I've been waiting a decade to hear, to know of, to get news, to get report of who's going next. Who's surrendering to go? So thankful when I heard that God has called your family to go to Asia. And you're making preparation to go. It's going to be a wonderful thing to see on that side of the world in just a couple years. But I wonder who's next. I wonder in this room, and maybe you're not here tonight. Maybe you're just hearing me online because you can't make it a service, but you're here on Sunday. But I wonder who else will answer the call. They say, oh, God called me before. Well, that calling never went away. They say, oh, God told me where I ought to be. Well, stop running away and run to God and say, God, here am I, send me. You won't lose anything, you'll gain. You say, oh, I have life going for me. I have everything I want. Life is all set up. Life is all in order. And God's going to rock my world. No, he'll make it better. Amen. I'd rather be poor than rich and not be in God's will. And God's not calling everyone to go, but I know this, and I believe this, that he's calling more than are currently going. 10 years for a church like ours, a size like ours. You see on the side of our building, on the side right here, Hudson School of Missions, Judson School of Church Planning. Where are you, young man? Where are you, young lady? Where are you, family? Where are you, young couple, older couple? We need more to go. Some are going to come off soon. Who's going to replace them? I've been in Cambodia for a decade now. I've seen over 10 families leave Cambodia alone. I've seen two replace them. That's it. I've heard of those trying to come to the field, but yet they don't make it past deputation. Because it takes on average 2 to 4 years nowadays. It takes on average them visiting anywhere from 150 to 300 churches. It's not easy. But it's possible. With God, all things are possible. You say, how will God provide? Where will we stay? I'm glad you asked. If we can get to there, PA booth. Maybe I turn right here. You know, we've been gone for 5 months, and it's places like Calvary Baptist Church that God uses to provide for our stay. You know, you don't just spend the night in your van. You can't just pay out hotels every single night. It's expensive. You know, $100 to $150 a night in a hotel, unless you want to be in the ghetto somewhere in a just an ugly hotel. No, I'm not putting my family up there. Okay, some teen boys, sure, maybe, go ahead. But not my wife and my kids, no way. But let's look at this, church family. And I'll mention something in just a bit. The Missions House at Calvary Baptist Church, dedicated as a place of rest for the missionaries who share the message of Jesus Christ around the world, provided and supported in love by our membership under the pastoral leadership of Mike and Nancy Kalap. You say, what is this? This is a home, a house that a church has or a church owns, and said, we will set this place aside for missionaries, for pastors, for evangelists, for guests. So then when they need a place to stay, they contact us. And if it's available, well, then come stay here for a night, for a few days, for a week. And at times, for my family, for a couple weeks. You say, well, what does it look like? Sorry, here's one more. Dale Tilley Memorial Prophets Chamber. A room set aside for missionaries passing through. Battery's running low. Well, it could be as simple as this. A bed, a couch, with all the necessities that you would need. That's about how it goes sometimes. We don't always have two beds. I tell you, my girls are champs. And Ruby said, I won. So, but you know, you just set up and you continue on the journey with them. They'll love me for that picture in a few years. And then you use the church kitchen sometimes to cook food. Fast food is not the way to go. As you can tell, I've gained a few pounds and can't wait to get back home to Cambodia to lose that weight that I gained. It's not my suit. I know it's me. You have a restroom. You have a shower. Praise God. You have a place to eat. Sometimes you have the entire church. Our girls loved being in the prophet's chamber and having the whole church as their indoor playground. You meet pastors and wonderful people like the Dales here. I did not know where my next step would be, where I would go, as we were in the Midwest in Indianapolis these past few months, and you call a pastor, do you have a prophet's chamber? Do you have a place where we can stay, a missionary apartment? I don't, but let me call another pastor and see if they do. And these folks call you and say, hey, come on over. We don't have many guests at all. We're a church that's been around for 30, 40 years. And our place isn't really used. Come on over. And we stayed there for 2 weeks. And we left, and then we called them again. We need to come back for more meetings. Can we stay there again for 3 weeks? Come on over. You get also places like this. New, beautiful places. It's awesome. God provides. It's nice to have a bunk bed for the kids, more so than just setting up blankets on the floor. It's nice to also have a washer and dryer where you can do laundry. Nice to have a kitchen where you can cook. You know, many churches around the country have things like this. They have something called a prophet's chamber, a parsonage, a missions home or apartment, a campsite, a retreat center. That you might be put up in a hotel, you might be in a church member's home, you might be with relatives, you might be with friends, you might have to rent a place. But God provides. May not be the best in the world, but God gives you exactly what you would need. And be thankful for it. One thing I wrote down, and I'll say it tonight. Our church, Lord willing, in the future, needs a missions apartment. With the amount of missionaries that we're sending out of our church here, when our missionaries come back home, where do they go? Sometimes they don't know. Sometimes they're struggling to find a place. And I'll be real with you. It's not easy. Sometimes some of your missionaries, they have to sleep in the living room on the floor because there's nowhere for them to go and they can't afford to go be somewhere. And I don't know what God's going to do through our church, with our church. I don't know if God's going to transform another room in on this property. But I hope that we would consider that. I hope that we would think about that. So that way, when people pass through here, or people have a need, when they call our church, oh yeah, we have a place. Come on by and stay over here. Yeah. And there's a lovely person in the church who says, hey, you know what? I'll volunteer and clean that place. I'll volunteer and get it ready. Every time a missionary comes and goes, and there'll be folks who will stock it up with things that the missionary needs, laundry supplies and food and snacks and water and things like that. You know, missionaries that travel, they're thankful for churches that have things like this. As I travel throughout California, you know, it's scarce to find a home, a place. Many places in the Midwest and whatnot, they have more places. Why? Because things are cheaper out there. I know it's expensive here. I know it's not easy. But what we can do, let's do it. And many will be thankful for that. Time is short. Time is almost running out, and I won't go over. But you know, we have great needs here. It was great hearing the update about needing 2 new buses here. I know it said 1 and it also said 2. It's a wonderful thing to have these type of problems in our church. Amen. We have many people that need to come, but we don't have enough vehicles. I hope that we would give this upcoming Christmas gift for Jesus. so that we can buy those buses, so that we can buy another wheelchair van. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. See, we see friends in the back who probably couldn't make it here if they didn't have transportation. It's a worthy investment, an investment that I hope that we all are going to partake in, something that I'm going to help in. Why? Because it determines more than likely someone's destiny. Someone's going to come hear the gospel. Someone's going to come to know Jesus. So to give for it, yeah, it's worth it. Why? Because when they come to know Christ as their Savior, it's for all eternity. And they will be thankful. You know, we need more to go. We need more to go and start churches like we did in Monterey Park over a decade ago. We need to go throughout California where there are cities that don't have a Baptist church. We need more to go to Thailand, where there is only our missionaries that are sent out that are getting older and need someone to help them. We need others to go to Laos, where right now there's almost no missionary there. One of our missionaries is going back and forth. We need more to go. We need more to go help Brother Luis in Guatemala. We need more people to go anywhere and everywhere. And we need to do our part to help them. You say, oh, is it easy to go? No. You have to adjust. You have to make some changes, but it's possible. As I said earlier, you can go with the savings. Some can go and just relocate and get a job in the country. Some can go and work remotely. Some will go and go on deputation. Some will even do this, hopefully. You'll have passive income here. You'll say, I'll go and I'll help. I heard the need. I heard that there's a place to go that needs help, and I'll go and help them. Many will be thankful for you. But let's continue on. Let's not stop. Let's not quit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God will provide. He always has. He always will. Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water fail not. We need to trust the Lord. Yep. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. God will direct. God will help, and you will not be left without. You will not be left stranded. You will be thankful that you trusted God. You'll be happy. You'll be blessed. Others will be blessed because of it. You need help? Ask. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's never left us without. He takes care of the sparrow. He knows the very hairs on the head. He knows the grains of sand on the sea and the amount of stars in the sky. He knows everything. He is all powerful. I'm thankful for the journey. I hope you're thankful for where you are in the Christian life. I hope you're thankful for how God is working your life. I hope you're thankful for where you get to serve, for what you get to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do more, church family. Let's do more. I don't know what God has in store for us in 2025, but I know greater things are ahead if we will choose to be a part of it. I want God's blessing to continually to be upon our church. Amen. I want to see great and mighty things done through it and more things done through it. Our theme this year was more church. And we need to do a whole lot more for the Lord. We will close. But before we close, let me say one thing. Walk with the Lord, church family. Walk with him. Love God, Stay close to God. Stay in your Bible. Study the Word. Obey Him. Be in prayer every day. Let's live a healthy lifestyle. Let's rejoice. Let's pray without ceasing. Let's in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning me. Let's be thankful. Let's continue. Let's serve the Lord all our days. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll turn over to the pastor.
Let's stand together. We'll open the invitation. If God spoke to you about anything tonight, why don't you come?